Where did you learn how to pray? Think about that for a second. Who taught you how to pray, or when to pray, or even what to say when it's time to pray? I remember being really little when I noticed my mom's lips moving. I was maybe like 4 or 5 years old, and I was sitting at the counter in our kitchen. My mom was facing me on the other side, probably making lunch or cleaning up, and her lips were moving, but there was no sound coming from her. I tried to figure out for a second, like, what was going on. I kind of leaned in to look, looked around me to see if anyone else had a clue of what was happening. And then I said, somewhat concerned, "Hey, Mom, who are you talking to?" And very calmly, she said, "Jesus. I'm talking to Jesus." And in that moment, I learned you can pray anywhere, and no sound has to come out in order for Jesus to hear you. Some of us learn to pray aloud with others all at once. Some of us learn to pray in agreement by extending our hands and saying, "Yes, Lord," as a group of people pray for something. Others of us learned that prayer is a solitary activity that happens privately. Lots of experiences we have inform what we know and how we pray. I learned the beauty of using different names for God in prayer when I learned to pray in Spanish about 11 years ago. The names of God, and therefore my imagination of God's character, expanded with a new set of vocabulary. And it's important to consider our experiences of prayer, because often how we learned to pray is how we engage with prayer right now. And this morning, we're going to look at how Jesus prayed. We're in the middle of a series right now called Becoming Like Jesus. And over the course of these weeks, we're learning about and practicing the things that Jesus did in order to become like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus, being formed into his image, is our highest good. And not just for our own sake or for the sake of our own little private world, but for the sake of all the spaces we inhabit, our families, our neighborhood, and our city. And we see Jesus pray a lot in the Bible. And each time Jesus turns towards God in prayer, it allows us to understand how we are invited to pray. For Jesus, prayer was this authentic, intimate conversation with God the Father. When Jesus talked to his disciples about God, he used the word Father. Jesus would often say, "My Father," when he was talking about God. And so when Jesus instructs the disciples to pray, it's not surprising that he says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In prayer, Jesus is not shouting to someone who is distant or detached. Jesus is talking to his Father, the one who knows him, the one who loves him, the one who is near to him. And when we pray, we're talking to our Father, the one who knows us, the one who loves us, the one who is near to us. And he's closer than we think and more available to us than we can imagine. And in conversations with his Father, Jesus is absolutely authentic and honest. Right before he's arrested, Jesus goes to pray. And the Gospel of Matthew tells about this moment in this way. It says, "He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' And going a little further, he fell on his face on the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Jesus did not clean up or pull himself together or edit his words so that he could go and talk to God. Instead, Jesus was raw and he was honest. He was unfiltered. He was troubled, overwhelmed with sorrow and in these verses, and he begins a conversation with God in that state. Totally afraid, Jesus asks, "Is there any other way to do this? Does it have to be this way?" You know, prayer is this authentic, intimate conversation between us and God. There's talking and listening. Be it alone or with other people, prayer is this space where we're invited to open up our hearts, to unpack what we've been experiencing, and then listen and wait for God to respond to us. And he responds in all sorts of ways, doesn't he? Sometimes he fulfills our requests as we ask them. And other times, God uses our requests to teach us something new. For Jesus, prayer was also a space of formation. You know, prayer is not like a matching game of requests and answers. We're formed by God in prayer because we draw near to God in prayer. Prayer is where we learn to love God and love the things that God loves. So when Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts," or "Lead us not into temptation," those are shape me, mold me, change me formational prayers. The Lord's Prayer that we pray together each week here on Sunday morning is not like just a creed or a pledge that we recite. It's a prayer that's asking God to forgive us, to teach us to forgive, to keep us from sin. You know, one time I was praying about a situation that had happened, and I heard myself say out loud, "Lord, I pray you would teach her a lesson. Show her what she did to me." And the minute I said it, oh, it just felt gross. It was like the gunk of the pipes of my soul had kind of been exposed and was put on the table. And as I sat there in God's presence, kind of with those words ringing in my ears, I felt like God began to show me new parts of the situation I was talking to him about. And slowly, my prayers began to shift a little. I heard myself say, "Lord, I'm really hurt, actually. Help me forgive her. Bring healing to this relationship." That formation, that change in perspective, that change of heart, it happens in prayer, in conversation with God. And if we want to become like Jesus by doing the things that Jesus did, well, then I think we have to look at how Jesus prayed. And I think we see kind of two forms, if you will, of prayer in the life of Jesus. And the first one is spontaneous prayer. We see Jesus pray about the moment that he's experiencing pretty often in the Gospels. Jesus prayed at his baptism. In Luke 3:21, it says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened." Jesus prayed for the bread and the fish in front of the 5,000 hungry people. Jesus prayed that God would use his truth to make his disciples holy. Jesus lived in this constant conversation with God. And we are invited into that same ongoing daily conversation with God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Pray continuously." All throughout the day, we are invited to reach for God in conversation. Wherever we are, whatever we need, whatever's taking up space in our minds, whatever we're curious about, God wants to hear about it. And so it might sound something like, "Lord, I'm tired. God, will you give me patience for this call? Lord, I'm worried that that bill is going to come today. God, this was a wonderful meal. Lord, what should I do tonight?" You know, Galatians 5 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." and we keep in step with the Spirit, that listening and noticing and talking and being shaped by God by living in conversation with Him. And sometimes those prayers kind of float up in a moment of panic or in really significant need. And sometimes they just kind of happen, like as if we're taking a walk with a friend. One of the ways that I start daily conversation with God is I say good morning to God. It sounds kind of silly when I say it out loud to you, but I do this. I make my coffee and I take a sip of it, and then I say, good morning, Lord. And I don't think that actually God sleeps and He's waking up too, but it's the way that I ground myself in daily conversation with God. It's one of the ways that we see Jesus be present with God the Father all throughout the Gospels, by talking to God about the thing that's standing in front of Him. We also see Jesus go away to pray. In Mark 1, it says, in verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." In Luke 5, it says, "Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." And I think what we see here is Jesus practicing fixed hour prayers that were familiar with Jewish life. Praying at certain times of the day was a part of being Jewish and living in a Jewish faith community. And we see this habit of praying at certain times in the day all throughout the Old Testament, right? In Deuteronomy, the Jewish people are instructed to pray the Shema morning and evening. Maybe you've heard that prayer. It starts with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." David refers to praying at certain hours of the day in Psalm 55 when he talks about praying evening, morning, and noon. And even when Jesus is talking about prayer, He uses the context of praying at certain times of the day when He instructs people about how to pray or the posture of our heart. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." Jesus is not condemning fixed hour prayers, but rather He's using the framework of praying at certain hours to teach how important the posture of our heart is when we engage in prayer. Scholars agree that we see Jesus practice both the fixed hour prayer of His Jewish background and the Spirit-led spontaneous prayer that's available to us in the New Covenant. And fixed hour prayers often include prayers that are written by other people. And while it can take some time to get used to, praying those prayers can invite us to move beyond like our own social location or the vortex of our own emotions and have a more significant or greater perspective into the story of God in the world. A couple of weeks ago, we prayed a prayer here together on Sunday mornings by Howard Thurman. And we prayed this line, "Open unto me courage for my fear." And when I prayed that line, I thought, that's a totally different way of praying about my fear. Usually when I'm afraid, I pray something like, "Lord, I'm freaked out." And then I wait for God to save the day. But as I prayed Thurman's words, "Open unto me courage for my fear," I began to be reminded of God's generous hand, the way He can supply me with courage when I'm afraid. One scholar says that praying fixed hour prayers invites us to pray with the church. Fixed hour prayers bring us into union with God, and it reminds us that we are a part of God's family, the communion of saints. When we pray together at the same time of the day, especially while we're scattered, we're giving witness to our local church connectedness and the global gathering of the body of Christ. And so I wondered if this week we could do just that. Pray the same prayer together each morning. Can we pray together this week? Would you consider allowing the words of another brother or sister in Christ to invite you into conversation with God? We aren't going to like set a corporate alarm clock. We'll just say morning time. Whatever that means for you counts. Each morning, we'll send you an email with a specific like prayer for the day. If you don't get our emails, don't worry. At the end of our service here, there will be a subscribe button in the chat, and you can just click on that to receive our emails. And so when you get the prayer for the day, you can just find a few minutes at the beginning of your day. You can take a deep breath or two before you start. And then I would invite you to allow the words of the prayer to create conversation between you and God. Pray the words slowly. Maybe take some pauses as you speak them aloud. And as you pray, remember in that space that you're holding union with God. You're beginning conversation with God for the day. And that your church family, the people that gather here with you on Sunday mornings, are praying the same prayer together with you. May we experience that authentic, intimate, formational space of prayer this week together.